Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Lockhart. And joining me this evening, as always, is my co-host in crime, Mr. Jason Roberts. How's it going, Jason?
It's going all right.
Excellent. And we have some guests this evening. Joining us all the way from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, we have two individuals. First up, Mr. Richard Reeder. How's it going, Rich?
Good, I think. Hopefully, as long as this audio quality and setup holds up, then we'll be good to go.
All right. Excellent. I can just imagine your guys' setup is like a lot of duct tape, some tin foil, and then you two having to hold hands the whole time in order for it to work. But it'll work.
Yeah, which one of us is wearing pants right now?
It's being sustained by the power of friendship.
Yep. Definitely, yeah, there's definitely some pants off. I'm not sure which one. I think by the end of the episode I'll have it figured out. But also joining us, last but not least, is Mr. Mike King. How's it going, Mike?
So, be pants off. Hey, everybody. I'm Mike, also known as Ottawa's Ass.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, let's just jump right into it because, like Rich alluded to, this could end at any time, really.
My relationship with Mike, because apparently we're just an old married couple.
Well, yes. This kind of reminds me of the whole time heist, right? Like where, you know, so many things could go wrong, but if they, you know, stick the course, we'll come through this the other side, and we will be victorious.
We got, like, what was it, 1,400,000 different options, and only one works?
Yeah, 14,601,000, I think, or something. Or no, yes, something like that.
And this is the one so far that's working.
yeah, all right, so...
million audio configurations, and hopefully this is the one.
Yeah. All right, so we are talking Avengers Endgame. This movie came out almost 2 weeks ago now, at the time of this recording. I've seen it twice. I saw it, the Friday that it opened, opening week or whatever, and then I saw it on Saturday as well. When did you guys watch this? Jason, when did you watch it?
It was pretty much the day after. My girlfriend's sister went and saw it opening night, and she basically just went, like, made us buy tickets. She goes, because I want to talk to someone about this. You losers haven't seen it. I'm like, fine. So we literally got the tickets, went that, like, very next day, and we watched it, so.
So you went one day, and she was calling you guys losers because you hadn't watched it. That's funny.
Yes, basically.
it is tough. It is tough because you want to talk to people about it, but you don't want to spoil anything. So, yeah. Rich, when did you watch it?
I saw it the Monday after it came out.
Excellent.
So that would have been last Monday.
And Mike, when did you see it?
I saw it with my nephews on Last Tuesday.
Yeah, the day after I saw it.
Okay, so before we actually get into movie specifics and all that, how was your guys' theater experience? Because for me, they're both good experiences. The first time we watched, like, I went with a group of my friends on the Friday, and we had fairly, very good seats. Saturday was kind of a last-minute thing that I decided to go because we were at the Calgary Comic Expo, and they were getting tattoos Saturday morning, and I wasn't getting a tattoo, so I had to do something. So I decided to go watch Avengers again. So I went kind of last minute, and I had to sit, like, right up front. Like, and it wasn't... It was still awesome, don't get me wrong, but I hate sitting that close to the screen.
Did you at least get the nice recliners?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. The whole theater had the recliners, which was nice. But how was your guys' theater experience? Like, I found the first time I went, I mean, there was some cheers, there was some, you know, gasps, and so on and so forth. But it's
everybody name?
What's that?
He's asking if those cheers were for you.
Because everybody knows your name.
Oh.
Cheers.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the second time I went and watched it, it seemed like the crowd was more into it. Like everyone was cheering. They actually, at the end of the movie, there was a standing ovation on my second viewing, which was awesome. It was awesome to be with a group of people that were that
your first invested view, what
into
day?
It. The Friday.
And then your second viewing was what day?
Saturday morning.
Oh, okay. So still really, yeah, because when I went, there was no real audience reaction, like, as far as, like, clapping or hooting or hollering and all that sort of stuff, right? Like, all the young kids were off my lawn. It was just a couple troubles during it, and that was pretty much it.
I also found, like, both times it was packed. Like I said, the second time I had to sit up in the front because there were so many people. Like, when we went for the Friday, my buddy was the one that bought the tickets and stuff, and he kind of chose the seats and did that prior to that, and I'm grateful he did that, because I don't think we would have got in otherwise. But did you guys had a good theater experience with this?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. Well, it's when we went in, I think the only gripe I would have was, like, it was a packed theater, but it was like, you would have two people, three open seats, two more people, or one person with two people and a few open seats, and they're like, oh, these are all saved. But it's like, eventually, like, no one ever came in. Yeah, like, they'll save the seats, and it's like, eventually found, like, two that were, like, in the center, but it was, like, off on that, the second row, like, up against the wall. And so we wound up sitting next to this one guy who was a little twitchy, and he got really upset halfway through, and then he left for whatever reason. That part was a little entertaining. But, no, like, overall, it was weird. The audience we had was, like, yeah, it was a lot of cheering on. It was just hilarious. Like, it's just, especially when, you know, Captain America grabbed a hold of the, you know, Thor's hammer, and just, like, the whole, like, everyone, like, a whole bunch of people just stood up and was just, like, screaming. It was, like, inaudible noises just screaming. It was just, like, whoa, okay. I mean, you can fangirl, but don't go full fangirl. It's okay.
Well, I almost went fangirl that time. That was the best. That was one of my favorite parts of that movie. The second viewing I went to, there was this one guy that walked in after me, and he was on his phone. And one of the guys on our row literally stood up and yelled at him to turn his phone off. Like, I thought that was awesome. And then the group of friends I went with, my one buddy was taking calls, like, during the previews and stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, man, turn your phone off. Thankfully, he did, though. But no, I just wanted to gauge everyone's theater experience because, like I said, this movie, you know, really brought out a lot of emotions and a lot of, you know, audible stuff, which I thought was really cool. But
yeah. It's a wide range of emotions. Like, you're laughing, you get choked up. I think I was doing fine, but until Happy and Stark's daughter were sitting next to each other, and he's just talking about, like, oh, I'm hungry, what do you want? Like, cheeseburgers. And he's like, oh, your dad liked cheeseburgers, so I'll get you. Well, like, for whatever reason, that line, that scene, like, I was just crying. I'm like, what the hell? Like,
honestly, the one that got me the first time, and the second time was when during the big battle, when Peter Parker goes up to Tony and starts talking to him. He's like, I think I blacked out. You know, you were there and then you weren't there, and now, you know, Doctor Strange says 5 years, and then he starts hugging him, like Tony Stark starts hugging Peter, and like that got to me. Like, immediately that got to me. Because when I watched Infinity War, that was one of the parts where I almost cried. Like, when he was, you know, I don't want to go. You know, and then
his spider sense was kicking in.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and it just broke my heart.
But he did. Every cell in his body was terrified.
No, it absolutely broke my heart. You know, like, I have a 19-year-old son who's, you know, a lot like Tom Holland in a lot of ways. You know, he's kind of, you know, slim kid, you know, same kind of height, and that's, you know, it just reminded me of my son, you know, that scene. So, it definitely hit close to home for me. But, okay. Before we get into any specifics, let's talk about our overall, if we liked it or not. Because, I mean, some of us maybe didn't like it. And it's funny, because I've listened to other podcasts, and I've read some reviews, and there's actually some people that didn't like it. I'm not one of those people. I thought this movie was absolutely fantastic. I really didn't know what to expect. I walked into that theater, you know, fingers crossed, hoping they didn't blow it. And it surpassed my expectations, and I left very emotional. You know, like, I honestly, it took me probably a good 5-10 minutes before I could actually start talking about it. Rich, what your overall view of the movie? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes, for sure. It was absolutely incredible. There were a couple scenes that I totally bawled my eyes out to, including the kind of second time I watched it, because I want to say I watched it again, but only about half the movie. I kind of skipped through part of it. Mm-hmm. To just to get to that last battle scene again, pretty much, because it's the best part of the movie. And so, yeah, I really liked it. It was really good, except for the crying parts that made me seem like a big pussy at the theater when I was crying.
Jason, what was your overall view? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I liked it better than Infinity Wars. Like, it was just, I literally sent you a message as soon as it was over. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like, that's all I could say was just, wow. Like, of all the Marvel, like, movies, like, that was the one that just, like, everything just came to a head, and just afterwards, it's like, you realize that it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, yeah, you got your second wave coming up, but it's like this whole, like, how many movies? 11 movies?
For the Marvel, this was the 22nd, I want to say?
Oh, no, wait, 11 years.
11 years, yeah.
Okay. It was just like, just that realization of, like, that is all, it's all ended. And mm-hmm. It's just the way they went out, and it just wrapped everything up. I was just kind of like, holy crap. Like, I just now, just like everything that just, you just kind of look at DC and you're just like, what the hell, guys?
Yeah.
Like,
like you have our permission to rip these guys off. Come on now. Like, just do it. Because this is how you make comic book movies.
It's really to think about, like, it has been 11 years that they've been working on this, and, like, think about where you were when Iron Man and Hulk came out in the summer of 2008, was it, right?
Yeah, well, just think about
and the other one came out in, like, June or July or something like that. Like, that's crazy.
Well, just think about the one of the opening, I think it was, like, the second scene in the Iron Man movie where he's in that tank with those army guys, and the guy's trying to take a selfie, and he tells the guy, I don't want to see this on your MySpace page.
Yeah.
You know, like, that seems so dated now. Like, MySpace, like, but back in 2008, people had MySpace, you know? Mike, your overall view of the movie, did you like it?
I loved it 3,000.
Excellent. Somebody. That is the best answer.
And all of you for not beating me to it.
Like, for me, Jason and I did an Infinity War episode back in January, and I told the story about my three favorite movies, which is, my first favorite movie is Forrest Gump, my second one is The Empire Strikes Back, and my third one was Wrath of Khan. Infinity War pushed out Wrath of Khan. You know, it put Wrath of Khan at number 4, it took the number 3 spot, Infinity War. This one might push out Empire, I'm thinking.
Wow.
I still have to watch it a bunch more times, but One of the things that I took away from this movie, like, after having watched it, it really is a time heist in a literal sense, because it really does not feel like a 3-hour movie. It feels like, you know, like maybe a 2-hour movie. Like, it doesn't feel like you're sitting there for 3 hours. At least for me, it just seemed to blow by, because there's so much that went down.
No, they did a really good job editing, like, the pace and everything. There was no lull whatsoever. Like, it just kept going and going and going.
Well,
see, I agree with you, but the overall movie theater time, for me personally, definitely felt like a long time, because we got there early to do the time play.
Which
if you go to the theater, you go up to 25 minutes early, and you can do, like, big, you sign into the Wi-Fi network in the theater, like, for that specific theater, and you can do quizzes that they show up on the big screen, and on the app on your phone, you can choose the answers, and then it'll show your name, as, you know, what place you're in, and you get points, and then you can get scene points, which then lead you to more movies, right? So we got there at, I want to say, like, 5:20 or something like that. And we got all of our snacks and everything. We brought snacks from the bulk barn and then the stores and all that. 5:20 in the theater until 9:15 or something, like, because we actually waited until all the credits completely finished before we left. Really? So we were there for so long. Oh my God, it was so long. And I didn't go pee once. And it was, I think I should go to the hospital.
Or bring a pee jug with you.
The barn.
Well, I mean,
the barn theater at. We have a thing called the Landmark Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, whatever it is, it's AMC, and it's the only theater I've seen where they have, like, a bulk barn experience where you can just, like, mix and match all your candy.
Yep.
And I just thought I could get, like, a $7 half-pound bag, or I can fill up this bag and save some money. Except I filled it up to bursting, because I thought, like, a 3-hour movie, I might take a while.
Yeah.
And it was like $22.
Yeah. Jeez.
It lasted
6 days in my home, so I'm going to say it was worth it.
I will say, Rich, I do.
Experience, buy your candy in bulk.
Yeah, I will say, Rich, I definitely see where you're coming from, because for me, I found, like, the first time we went and watched that film. Like, it started at 11 in the morning. For the first 20 minutes, there was almost back-to-back commercials. And I'm not talking, you know, previews or anything. I'm talking, like, you know, Mazda commercials, Toyota. It was ridiculous. There were so many commercials before the previews started for upcoming movies. So the second time I went, I actually bypassed most of the commercials, and I got in just as they were showing the Lion King trailer. But, oh man, the commercials were a killer. There were so many commercials, in my viewings anyway, that I saw.
Real quick, Chris, do you get the commercial about the popcorn that are all about to commit suicide?
Yeah, they're going on the mission.
Yeah, but
the space lemmings.
But they're happy about going on this mission.
Colonel.
All literally about to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Does that bother anybody else? It always bothers me every time I see it. It's like seeing a commercial where a cow is happy that we're eating a beef burger from McDonald's.
They should be happy.
It just doesn't seem right.
They're bringing joy to so many people.
Colonel Lips.
Like they're bringing joy. If I was that cow, I would be happy. But yeah, the Colonel thing, yeah.
I just see how it ends, like, with them, like, getting, like, flying into someone's mouth, screaming, "This is what I wanted! it's better than being swept up off the floor!"
Yep. All right. It's funny, you're talking about that time play thing. That dude that hosts that, I think he was in Calgary that weekend that I saw Endgame.
Cool.
Because there was a convention going on, and I didn't see him at the convention. I maybe he was moderating some panels or something. I don't know. But my friend, he was staying at his hotel, and he ran into him. But, yeah. It was weird. Anyway, let's get back to talking about the Avengers here. I've kind of broke it. Like, now we'll get into spoiler let's get into spoiler territory. Let's get into some specifics that we liked and didn't like and so on and so forth. And the way I kind of see this movie, it breaks down into three parts for me. You got the beginning / 5-year jump. Then you go into the time heist portion where they're traveling through time. Then you go into the battle, with the final battle with Thanos.
The battle at Helm's Deep is what I like to call it.
Yes. All right, so let's get into the beginning. I got to say, like, going into this movie, like I said, I didn't know what was going to happen here. I didn't know. I assumed Captain Marvel would save Tony or something. It was something that they left out, too. Like, at the post-credits of Captain Marvel, there's the scene where they have Nick Fury's pager that he signaled Captain Marvel, and they're trying to figure it out, and then she shows up at Avengers headquarters. That wasn't in the movie, but from the way I think of it, and I think I read this somewhere, that scene actually happens prior to the movie. So they get the pager, Captain Marvel goes to Avengers headquarters, because that's where the pager's at this point. And then Groot gives her the coordinates for the Guardians ship, because, you know, he sees that it's, you know, it's got a GPS on it. He's got a GPS on that thing. He knows where it's at. Yeah. So that's how Captain Marvel got there. Like, that's how Captain Marvel went to save Tony, was because the Avengers sent her there. Because there was some people that were like, well, you know, Captain Marvel just happens to be flying past and she saves Tony. No, it's because of the whole pager thing. And I think that's something that they didn't really, I don't know, allude to well enough, I don't think. What were your guys' thoughts on that? You agree with that?
Yep.
Yeah. We could have got, like, a nice second clip of the Raccoon showing up saying, listen, here's my ship's transponder. Anyone's on it, bring it.
Well, and I understand. Well, I'm assuming they, because that's the thing. Like, Captain Marvel lands the ship, and none of the Avengers are like, okay, who's this chick? You know, they, like, it's like they've already know her to an extent.
Been introduced, which I would have liked to have. I would have liked to have seen her be like, oh, what year is it? Like, a little introduction.
Well, they kind of did in that post-credit scene on Captain Marvel, because she's like, where's Nick Fury? You know, he sent for me. Where is he? And
yeah, that's not a conversation.
No, but I imagine, like, between there and then when you see Tony, you know, being rescued, they had that conversation. It just wasn't filmed.
Just an extra minute.
It would have been nice, but then again, I guess that it would have took away, because it does seem hopeless for Tony, right? Like, I mean, he looks like shit when he's on that ship. And you're like, oh, you know, maybe he's going to die here. You know, like, you know, he's not, but that thought, you know, might be out there for some people. Like, oh, he's not doing so good. So it might have taken away from that, knowing that she is coming, rather than have her just show up and be like, oh, you know, is it an angel? No, it's Captain Marvel. Then I loved how they just jumped into it. I loved the argument between Tony and Cap, and Tony's pissed off, and he has every right to be pissed off, I think. But I loved how they're like, you know, let's go get him. Let's go get the son of a bitch. And I just loved that they just jumped right into that mission. And then blammo, you know, like, they know he used the gauntlet recently, and he used it to destroy the stones. And then Thor went for the head. Did you guys at all see that coming?
Oh, God, no.
No.
That completely took me by surprise, because then I'm thinking, okay, well, who's going to be the bad guy then? Like, how do you go forward from here? I loved how they did it, but
backwards.
Yeah, it completely floored me. I did not expect that coming. Like, I figured, you know, Thanos is going to die in this movie. That's a given. But to die, it was like, what, 15 minutes in? And he's dead?
Yeah, it was pretty weird how they did that, actually. I agree.
It was awesome. So like, it was totally unexpected.
And unpredictable.
Yeah. Which is what you want.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was
also awesome. Unfossed.
How'd you guys feel about the 5-year jump? Because I have seen some criticism where people were like, well, that's when it gets boring and you know, when they have the whole group therapy session there where Cap's talking to them and everything seems so dour. I really think they dwelled on it too much. Some people felt like they did, but I thought it really established, like, how crappy things got. Like, it really got you into the world that Thanos created.
Well, let me tell you, Chris, I certainly enjoyed it a heck of a lot more than Gilligan and the Captain enjoyed a 5-hour tour.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Always comes back to Gilligan with this guy. I thought it was...
It was a 3-hour tour. Damn it! Ruined my joke.
You fumbled the landing.
No, I kind of agree. It was a bit of a jump. I was expecting a jump, as I think most of us were, right? Because, I mean, what do you do from there? You kind of have to go forward in time a little bit, but mm-hmm. I don't know if I was expecting 5 years, for sure. And it did get a little slow with Captain America, you know, going to AA meetings and shit like that, right?
Well, if anyone knows how to recover from having your world taken from him, it would be him.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Well, one thing that kind of, like, what I found interesting was how you get rid of half of the people in the world, how everything turns to shit. Like, seriously? Like, Major League Baseball's gone now? Like, no one wants to play ball?
If literally half of everybody is gone, then half of each team, you know, theoretically, is gone, right? So you don't have enough people to play the teams. If 20,000 people were showing up to the games to be able to play or to pay for all of their salaries, now there's half the amount of people. Half the amount of people that were running the power plant to be able to supply the power so that you could go to the game aren't there anymore. So is there enough people at the power plant to be able to run the power plant efficiently? Is there enough people to ship the gas to the gas station to be able to fill your car so that you can get there properly? Is there enough drivers for the trains to be able to run the trains properly? So on and so forth.
I would think there would be. Like,
Merchant's draft.
Because, like, just speaking, like, Major League Baseball terms here, like, each team has a farm team, right? So that means that half the farm team would still be there, so they just call up the farm team.
But then there's
then
still
you make
only
the whole team.
There's still only half the audience, though.
Well, that's the thing. Like okay. That
nobody watches.
Maybe it's just Major League Baseball, because, like, I'm thinking, like hockey, for example. Like, the Edmonton Oilers sell out every game.
Of course, the Oilers.
Well, the Maple Leafs, for example. The Maple Leafs sell out every game. Like, they sell out years in advance. That would mean, like, half the people are not there anymore. So the other people that couldn't get tickets now can get tickets. Like, to me, I just found it, an interesting creative choice that things would be that bad. Like,
adjusting? But by 5 years, people would be kind of, like, getting used to it by necessity.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, because when Ant-Man shows up and he asks that kid, like, what happened? And he's walking down the street and it's, like, full of garbage and abandoned cars and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Like I know, you know, like, not only are you losing half the population, but you're also losing other people because you've lost half the population. What I mean is... you're losing your pilots flying planes. So right there, you're killing all those people that were on that plane as well that didn't get decimated. The surgeons that disappear in the middle of an open heart surgery. That person on the table who didn't disappear, he's now dead. You know, so there is a lot of loss.
You know, collateral damage.
Yeah, a lot of collateral damage. But you would think after 5 years, the world would have. Come around a little bit, you know.
But you're missing half of your politicians and infrastructure employees, right? So that would take a couple of years. Because if you lose half the government during this crazy thing, it's going to take them a year or two, maybe even three, to fully kind of re-coordinate with each other. Then they also have to re-coordinate with all the other governments on the planet. And then they have to slowly try to clean up after this. It's going to take a little while, especially with half the amount of people to actually do the work. Because if you only have 500,000 people in your you know, military for your small little country, and now you've only got 250,000, but your country is so big that you can't, like, that's not enough people to help clean it all up. It's going to take a while to clean up.
There's going to be a lot of unsupervised zones.
It's all a numbers game.
It definitely is. For me, that was one thing. I was like, I could see, like, maybe the first 2 years, but after 5 years, you'd think people would have got around to, you know, picking up the garbage or you know.
So that would be, like, the beginning of, like, the new normal.
Yeah. So all these poor bastards that were gone for 5 years, now they're back, and now they got to clean up all this garbage that the other lazy guys didn't bother cleaning up. I guess there'll be more work. I guess there'll be some overtime.
Who accused Trump would be gone.
Oh, God.
Okay, so there was this website. I don't know if you guys went to this, where you could find out if you died during the Thanos snap. Did any of you guys check that out?
No.
No.
Yeah. What?
There's a website that you could go to find out if you got decimated. When Thanos did his snap in Infinity War. I died because of Thanos. Jason, did you check it out?
Yeah, I checked it out. I survived.
You survived, okay.
I also survived. Yeah. I just did it right now, live on the show.
What about
along
Mike?
With Gilligan.
What about Mike? Did you survive?
Okay, take my phone to there.
What do you mean?
I don't know what the site is.
Well, I just, you know, like, we were joking about it after the movie, you know, like, now I'm back, no, spoilers, I'm back, you know, like, I'm alive again. I really have to do something with my life, you know, after having survived, you know, come back from Thanos' snap and whatnot.
Mike was spared.
Man, see, not even half our podcast, I'm the only one from this podcast that died.
The best of us.
Yeah. God bless Iron Man. He brought me back. All right. Well, so the first third of the movie. So we're talking 5 years later. Is there anything you guys want to touch on before we move to the time heist portion of the film? All right. Let's move on to the time heist portion. It should be said, you know, the real hero of this film.
My question would be, what did Natasha to get that weird hair?
The blonde and red combo thing?
Her hair out.
I like
it's been 5 years since she dyed her hair.
Yeah, I liked it.
Marvel can find a pair of scissors. Why can't her?
Maybe she doesn't want to cut her hair. She's so insensitive.
Why would assassins have long hair? It can be grabbed.
Well, she's kind of like the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, or the Avengers, or whatever. Like, she's kind of coordinating everything. All right, so, like I was saying, the real hero of this film is kind of that rat that ran across the van there and somehow brought Ant-Man back from the quantum realm. Because if that rat hadn't done that, there'd be no film here. Like, that would be it. What were you guys' thoughts on Ant-Man and the whole time heist aspect of it? I loved it. You know, like,
I also very much enjoyed everything. Ant-Man in this movie was amazing.
Oh yeah, Paul Rudd's amazing.
Yeah, it just, but everything surrounding him, not just him as an actor, but they just played the character really well. Mm-hmm. In how the character's written, the lines, the excitement. It's all done really well, and I think it could have worked with another actor well as well, right? Like, it's not just him.
He's the in-movie-movie references.
Yes.
Yeah, the in-movie-movie references were amazing.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Back to the Future, yeah, it was great.
Excellent. Sure, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine, yeah. So what?
Oh, just like you can't base your theoretical physics on movies.
Yep. So what were you guys' thoughts on the Banner Hulk, the Professor Hulk? Again, this was a choice they made that some people, there was a lot of controversy. A lot of people didn't like it. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. You know, one of my favorite runs in comic books is the Peter David Hulk run, and I loved those years when it was the Banner Hulk. What were you guys' thoughts on that, Jason?
I was expecting it. I was kind of surprised they didn't do it sooner. I rather enjoyed it. I actually had to explain it to my girlfriend because she's sitting there and there he is. He's like Professor Hulk, and she's all, "What the hell? Like, what? He could talk?" I'm like, and so I had to go by. I'm like, in the comics, I'm sure they'll probably explain here if you wait another 10 minutes, you know, but it's like, he manages to, you know, they kind of become one. They work together. And it doesn't last long, but it lasts long enough to, you know, but she's like, okay. And then after a while, she really enjoyed it. She, you know, it definitely kind of, I think she was more put off with Fat Thor. But
I think most women were.
I think Fat Thor is my new spirit animal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know,
he took the brunt of a lot of fat shaming. Like, that is another criticism about this movie. Not from me. I thought it was funny. But I thought that was fantastic. Awesome choice.
You don't need abs to be worthy.
Well, not just that, but, you know, fat people can be heroes too. You know, you don't have to be ripped with a six pack.
Yep. There was Fat Mama in that Stan Lee reality show.
I don't think I ever.
So you can also be a decent villain. I mean, you got the Blob, you got Mojo. It's just like,
he said hero.
Yeah,
I said villain. I said you can also be a decent villain.
Oh,
yeah, those are. Yeah,
but heroes.
but Mike and Rich, did you guys like the Professor Hulk and Fat Thor?
Absolutely, he was just like a big green dork. Look, and the kids come up to him and they're like, "Hey, can I take a picture with you?" He's like, "Hey, come on over here, take your vegetables, listen to your mom."
Yeah, well, and I loved like that part where he's like, "Hey, you want a picture with Ant-Man?" And they're like shaking their head, "No." Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Interaction with Paul Rudd.
Of course, Meek and Bleak?
Meek and Korg.
Meek and Korg playing Fortnite with Fat Thor was hilarious. Although I do have to criticize Fat Thor because of the fact that as soon as he appeared on screen, my wife looked at the screen, then my wife looked at me. Then my wife looked back at the screen. Then my wife looked at me again and said I needed to go to the gym. She was like, "That's what you look like now. You need to go to the gym."
I can't get enough Korg. I wish there was more of him in the move.
Yeah.
Aww.
Just like a big space kiwi.
He's amazing.
I love the fact that he's playing Fortnite and he's being bullied by some kid somewhere else.
Neil won again.
Yeah, and then Thor's got to go on there and threaten the kid. That was hilarious. All right, so more time heist stuff. Did it work for you guys? Like the whole time travel aspect, the whole...
Like, you know,
the different eras they went to. I personally loved the interactions. I loved, you know, when Cap met Cap. And the whole, you know, "I can do this all day," and he's like, "I know."
That was funny.
Or making the Hulk take the stairs. You know. and I love the fact that they brought so many actors back for this movie, you know, like seeing Robert Redford, like that was surprising. Wasn't expecting that. The whole elevator scene with the Hail Hydra. That was fantastic. Didn't see that one coming, you know, because we saw Crossbones and I can't remember that guy's name, but that dude, you know, apparently, you know, we got Loki back in a way. You know, seeing Howard Stark, you know, like, that was awesome. I really liked John Slattery from Mad Men. Loved those scenes between him and Tony. You know, Peggy coming back. Like, Renee Russo, you know, as Thor's mom. There were so many awesome, you know, Easter eggs. Like, there was so much going on. It was so fantastic. I loved how they executed that. And kept it quiet, because, like, I had no idea some of the things were happening. Like, I know there was leaked pictures of, you know, Avengers Cap and Iron Man with Ant-Man in the New York setting. So you kind of knew, okay, they must be going back in time to the first Avengers, or Ant-Man's going back in time. But, yeah, the way they executed and with the time travel aspects, I thought they nailed it. Like, there was no nothing really stuck out for me, you know, as being a sore thumb, other than Loki disappearing, you know, creates another timeline, I guess, and that will be where the Loki TV show is going to take place.
I'm out of, yeah, exactly.
Oh, and the Ancient One, having her come back, like that was cool.
She didn't really come back, they went to her.
No, but I mean the actress, like having her in the film, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Also having the little boy from Iron Man 3.
That was the only thing that I didn't catch the first time. I'm like, who is that kid? Or that young man now? Like the young, you know. Like, I totally didn't catch it the first time because he was kind of off by, yeah, I know we're jumping ahead here, but he was kind of off by himself. And it wasn't until the second viewing I was like, oh, that's the kid from Iron Man 3. Hopefully, like, I'm thinking they're going to set him up for a future Iron Man movie or something. Because why would have him just show up like that? But, anyway. Time heist stuff. Did you guys want anything you guys want to bring up before we get to the battle?
So much fun. The suits were hilarious, and the fact that it basically, so when everybody's, you know, pressed the little button and got their nanotechnology suits, they all look, I would say, a little bit different than their superhero suits already, right? However, Iron Machine or War Machine turns on, it basically looked like they just painted his suit. Right? I just thought it was hilarious because to me, on the first time I viewed it, it basically looked like everybody got a brand new superhero suit and they just painted his armor. So, like, he kind of lost out on the deal, right? So it's just like, oh, poor War Machine. But turning Paul Rudd into a baby and then an old man, and I think I peed myself, but I'm not sure which one did it.
Well, and then, so
and then it's like,
and then you Tony,
turned him into a baby, didn't you?
Yeah, when Tony drives up and he's like, you turned him into a baby. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I do love the appearance of the Audi e-tron in the movie. That was kind of cool as well. Another cameo appearance. That's the Audi electric vehicle, in case anybody didn't know. Buy it. It's amazing, and it's saving the
Tony's car, right? The time.
Yes.
Okay.
Or no, sorry. Not, was it Tony's? No, I think it was actually the other Audi that was in it. There was another Audi before his. Oh. It was all kind of like more SUV-ish, although it could have been his. He usually drives around in the R8, though, so I forget which one he was driving. I'll have to rewatch it. I'm going to watch it a third time after this, maybe.
I am watching it a third time on Friday. I'm taking my wife to it. Because I hate not being able to talk about it with her.
So sure.
We're making a special trip.
Nice.
Time heist. Anything else that sticks out for you guys before we move on to the battle? One thing I wanted to mention was I loved how they managed to bring Thanos back into this film with this. Like, it totally makes sense that Nebula, you know, would have really good Wi-Fi and be able to connect to herself.
Like, it's like WiMAX or 5G or something.
No, this is the outer space. They got 12G.
Yeah, so she connects, and then Thanos learns everything. And that's the thing. Like, it's not like the Thanos. It's not even the same Thanos that we saw from Infinity War, because at that point, he had kind of got to a point where he was almost like a. He began to see himself. You know, he's on this holy mission. He's doing this, doing that. The Thanos from 2014 is more of a warrior. Like, he hasn't seen things yet that, you know, made him what he was by the end of Infinity War.
Stones.
Yeah, he has no stones.
So more powerful.
So he's more raw. And I thought that was so awesome how they did that. And again, some people were complaining, well, you know, about how he was able to take his ship through the quantum realm to come to, you know, 2023 and whatnot. But he has all his guys. Like, he has Ebony Maw again. Like, he's, you know, like, that's the scientist guy that they, you know, jettisoned out into space, like Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and Tony in Infinity War. That guy is smarter than Tony and Bruce and all them. Like, so if he's going to reverse engineer Pym particles and do all that, that's the guy that's going to be doing it. And that's who Thanos has working for him. So I don't think people realize just how smart that guy was. But it was so awesome how they were able to use Nebula as a means to bring Thanos back into it. Because, yeah, like, if they didn't have that conflict, you know, it'd be, yeah, a pretty boring movie. It would have ended right there when Bruce did the snap the first time. Or second time. Third time, I guess. That was the third snap, I guess, altogether. On the cosmic snapping scale.
Did Bruce pull off a snap, or did he, like, burn his hand up?
Bruce?
Willis?
Banner.
Oh. Banner. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's hurt. Messed up his arm.
Cameo. Bruce Willis right in the middle of all of the superheroes.
They bring back all the heroes, including Unbreakable.
But he'd have to be in his Bruno gear so that nobody knew it was Bruce Willis. They would just think it was Bruno because it's two different people.
Hmm.
Wasn't that played by Ali G?
Oh, my God, where are we?
All right.
Rich is creating multiple universes without the gauntlet.
The Hulk, I think, his arm was still in a sling by the end of the movie, but he does have that healing factor, but I think it took so much out of him that it's going to take a while before he's back to, you know, tip-top shape. But, all right,
well... justify that in the movie? Like, Thanos, he only burned up his hand when he destroyed the stones. The first snap,
powerful than everybody else. So when everybody else tried to use them, they're not as powerful as him, that's why they got punched.
Because Thanos is a pretty powerful being, because that was another complaint that people were making, was the fact that at the end of the movie, Thanos is going toe-to-toe with Thor, Iron Man, and Cap without any stones. Like, in the first movie, you know, they couldn't really do anything because he was using the Infinity Stones the whole time and kicking the crap out of everybody. But in this movie, he didn't have him. But yet, he was still kicking the crap out of him. But it's because he is that powerful already. Like, without the stones, he's a powerful being.
Yeah. Mm.
But he did burn up his hand, though. Like, during the first snap, like, the gauntlet was pretty damaged. And
we saw him go to his little garden. I thought he looked fine.
Oh, no. Well, he was still had a chest wound from getting Stormbreaker in his chest. Like, he was still limping and everything.
Yeah, he was limping and his arm was heavily fucked up. I remember that part.
I thought it was because the injuries from the battle, but...
No, his... they didn't really allude to it too much, but then, yeah, when he did the second snap, then it burnt him up even more. So, yeah, like, you know, like, there's so much foreshadowing in this movie, but I still didn't get there. Like, they foreshadowed Tony's death right from the beginning. Right from the beginning of the movie. And then when he had the stones and, you know, says, "I am Iron Man," like, I should have known that's it right there, but... I still didn't know it until he was dying. Then I was a quiet, blubbering mess when that was going down. So anyway, let's get
into it. Just use the second time and be like, "Don't kill me."
Yeah. If he had enough, Anyway, there's so many scenarios that can play out now. Like, they could just use the Pym particles and go back in time and save, you know, bring a different Iron Man to the future. Like, there's so many different things that they can do going forward. I really don't think we've seen the last of Tony Stark. I think, if anything, when they decide to do a reboot of Iron Man, I think he might be the AI. Like, he might be the voice.
He's his Nick Jarvis.
Well, in the comic books, he was for a while. Like, he was...
He could be Thursday?
He was in a coma. That comes up. Yeah, Mr. Saturday Night. He was in a coma, and then he was, like, talking through his AI to the new Ironheart, or whatever her name is. I can't remember what her name is, but...
Ironheart. In the comics, there's a young black girl who becomes the new Iron Man, one of his apprentice or something.
Her name Monique, and that's why his daughter's name is Morgan.
No, Morgan is a callback to a character from the Iron Man comics. Morgan Stark was actually Tony's cousin, and he kind of was like a rival to Tony. Like, he kind of would do things to screw over Tony, and he would actually work with supervillains and stuff. So having him name his daughter Morgan, was a callback to that. Oh, before we get out of the time heist part, did you guys notice Tony Stark's dad, Howard, his driver?
Happy?
No, Howard Jarvis. Stark.
Oh, the real Jarvis.
Agent
Carter.
Yeah. Did you guys realize that is the first Marvel TV character to make the jump to the big screen?
Huh. Yeah, because Peggy Carter made the jump to the small screen.
Yeah.
And then the big screen again.
Yep. But that was the first character from the Marvel TV shows that has been on one of the movies so far. Being said...
Isn't that hard to believe? Well, technically the...
Wasn't he Vision?
They went the other way, too.
The guy, Paul Bettany did the voice of Jarvis, the AI. But it wasn't the same guy.
Were technically had their own movie, and then they went to the TV universe. Mm-hmm. Technically, sort of.
Yeah, Jarvis is the first made for TV Marvel character that made the jump to the big screen.
Hmm.
Which I really wish they would have brought Luke Cage into this. Like, if they're going to... I know there's legalities here. I know there's something going on with the whole Netflix deal. Like, maybe they're not allowed to use Mike Coulter in the films.
You can't use this thing that you can't use anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But,
Did you guys see my special little feathered friend in the mix during the war scene?
I didn't see him, but I've since read about it.
Howard the Duck?
Time around because I knew to look for it. What's his name?
Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good old Howard. And apparently the Ravagers were there too, but I totally didn't catch that either. But that's who he was with, was the Ravagers.
I did see a few of them. I didn't see all of them. Like, even in my first viewing, I did kind of see a few of them, but then I got distracted by Dick Van Dyke or Bitch Van Dyke, whatever the fuck her name is.
Janet Van Dyne?
I don't fucking care what her name is.
Oh, yeah. Evangeline Lilly. Yep.
Well, yeah, because when she was in the main, like, in the middle of the screen when the Ravagers were off to the side in that exact sequence. So, like, you see the Ravagers come out, and you're like, cool, and you see the her with her mask on, but then she takes her mask off, and you immediately are distracted to only looking at her because of that movement and of the skin, right? Because human eyes are attracted to skin.
Mm-hmm. She does have attractive skin.
Well, it doesn't even matter if you do. Even if it was like a 90-year-old woman flashing you, you would immediately look to it. Human eyes look at skin. Doesn't matter whether you're male, female, fat, young, old, black, white, anything. If you see skin, your eyes are going to be drawn to it.
I see.
Humans work. That's what I keep telling. We go out.
Who touched you?
Who hurt you, Rick?
You did.
35. Okay, so let's we could talk about the battle scene. There was a lot. There was so much in there. Like you had mentioned this earlier. I think it was Rich mentioned this earlier about Jason about Mjolnir when Cap started wielding the hammer. That was probably, and not just wielding the hammer, but he was summoning the power of Thor, which is what the words on the hammer say. Like, that is what the spell Odin put on that. He who shall hold this hammer is worthy of the power of Thor. So I thought that was so awesome.
It was a nice illusion from Age of Ultron.
What's that?
It was a good illusion from the Age of Ultron, because when everyone was trying to take turns with the hammer, when Cap grabbed it, the hand moved, like it budged, and Thor noticed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is my fan theory, and I take it for what it is. I think Cap could have lifted it in Age of Ultron, but he chose not to. Because they were sitting around, you know, and it was like a scene where everyone's, you know, trying to lift it. Hawkeye tries, Banner tries, Iron Man tries. Everyone's trying to lift it, and then Cap comes up, and it budges. And you see the look on Thor's face, where he's like, uh-oh. And then Cap just puts his hands up in the air and says, I tried, you know, and they kind of laugh it off. I think Cap knew he could lift it. I think he chose not to take that away from Thor. He knew he could do it. When he started pulling on it and it started moving, he stopped right away and pretended like he couldn't do it. I think he could the whole time. Because that was there was this YouTube video that someone did, like, when did Captain become worthy? And then they did this whole breakdown of, oh, on this movie he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this. And I'm like, no, he was worthy the whole time.
That's why he became Captain.
Well, yeah, they were drinking, they were having a good time. He didn't want to take that away from Thor. He didn't want to, you know, because it was a big deal for Thor, right? He didn't want to take that away from him. So I think right from Age of Ultron, even before Age of Ultron, probably in First Avengers, if he had picked up that hammer, he could have done things with it if he had chose to.
Done things to it? What?
With it. With it, Rich.
If he were at a party, he could be cracking walnuts with it or something.
Yeah, whatever he wants, whatever he wants. All right, so
not like what Rich would be suggesting with the handle or whatever.
Oh Lord.
Okay, let's get into our nitpicks if you guys have any, and then we'll get into our favorite parts, and then we'll call it an episode, because I mean we could be here for 10 hours talking about this film, honestly. do you guys have any nitpicks you want to throw out there? Rich, any nitpicks?
Oh man, I was hoping you were going to throw it to Jason first, so I could just say that I agreed with him. Damn it.
Well, you can still say that if you want. Like, I agree with whatever Jason says.
Well, yeah, I was just going to agree with whatever Rich said, but you know, it's damn.
I'm the damaged one. You're not supposed to agree with me.
That's always a proposition.
All right, Mike, do you have any nitpicks?
Fuck you then.
You blew it, Rich. It's my turn now.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Think about it, Rich. Think about it, and we'll come back.
Okay. I have to say, like, time travel is always tricky. Thanos from 2014 came into 2023, attacked them, lost his forces. He got snapped out by Tony. Wouldn't that undo the 2019 snap because he died 5 years beforehand?
No.
Also,
died in the future.
No.
No, because he's from 2015. Now that he's come to the future, he's actually come from a divergent timeline.
I hate that movie.
But by the Avengers time travel logic.
Yeah, the way that
he's because what happened, right? Like, it can't be changed because it's the past,
and it's a new reality. It's a new version of it, right? Like when the bald female Strange was explaining it was the new second line. Remember?
Quit describing my dating choices.
So that was your only nitpick,
Mike?
Well, now that we've explained divergent timeline, I guess that undoes.
Stop bringing up that.
That undoes dead Nebula from 2014, and Gamora somehow existing in the future, without being sacrificed to provide the gauntlet.
It's Gamora, not Gamora.
Jesus. Had to work the Harry Potter in there, didn't you?
So your complaint is she didn't get dusted? Is that the?
Well, no. That somehow she came from 2014. She not get sacrificed in 2019.
Why would she get? Well,
technically, Black Widow sacrificed herself to get the stone.
See, Jay, he's what? Right.
I didn't hear because of the leg.
Black Widow.
Spoilers.
So she sacrificed herself in 2014.
No, Black Widow sacrificed herself in 2019 so that 2014 Gamora in 2019 didn't have to sacrifice herself.
That means that there's no Soul Stone in 2019 for Thanos to get because they pinched it.
No, there's no Soul... Okay, just stop thinking, Mike. Just stop thinking.
We really need, like, a chalkboard and chalk, and we need to get all these lines figured out.
Here's one that picked in. 5 years later, Peter Parker gets brought back into the class of 2023. Why is Ned still there?
Thank you. Why is Ned the same age?
Why is Ned not in college?
I will agree with that.
Because him and all of his friends all died. They all got dusted by Thanos.
But shouldn't only half of his friends gotten dusted?
Not necessarily half his friends. It's half the population.
Well, doing the math so that, like, not a quarter of Ned's doesn't get dusted.
I mean, we've already established on this podcast.
It isn't you.
Like, out of the four of us, I was the only one that died. Right? So.
Yeah, yes. But that proves it. If you were Peter Parker, then fucking Ned here shouting at everybody, lagging off his fucking tits, would be 12 years old, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, Ned would be in college.
Yeah, banging bagels. All day, bro.
Well, I don't know. I'm like a fat dork. I don't think so.
I'm thinking in the Spider-Man movie, they're going to address this coming out in like a month and a half.
To Peter Parker's entire class somehow got snapped. So for his convenience, everyone can still graduate with him.
It's possible.
To hold everyone back, Peter. Way to hold everyone.
What I think would have been hilarious, though, is if MJ didn't get snapped, but they still kind of had a flame together. So now she's like fucking 25 or something, and he's still 16 or some shit, right?
Good for him.
Exactly. Now that would make for a good homecoming, baby. Ow!
Well, if he's 16, she'd only be 21, not 25, because it's only 5 years later.
When I was 16, anybody over the age of 16 was great.
All right. So does anyone have any
Mr.
other?
Mr. Stark is fucking great.
Does anyone have any other nitpicks?
No.
Okay.
For the sake of the podcast, no.
Okay. I got a couple that I just wanted to throw out. They're not, I mean, these aren't big deals, I'm telling you, but they're just little things. Okay. Cap giving Sam the shield. It's a nice thing, but the thing, my problem is Sam's not a super soldier. He's just a regular dude with a Falcon suit.
Like, but he did become Captain America in the comics.
Yeah, it made no sense there either. Like,
yeah. I'll tell you why, because Bucky didn't have anyone to pass the arm to.
Oh. So he
can't become Cap.
Yeah. I know he had to give it to somebody, but, you know. And, I mean, he doesn't have, like, because that's the thing. Cap, he's never going to be able to throw it like Cap, because Cap's a super soldier. Like, he'll be able to use it to block bullets and stuff, but, so, anyway, like I said, small nitpick. And I had already mentioned I wish they had brought Luke Cage into this, because honestly, that's who should have got the shield, is Luke Cage. Because he is a superhuman.
He's bulletproof!
Yeah, but he can throw the shield around, though. Like, he doesn't need it to protect himself, but he can still wield it. Still throw it. Okay, so there was only one moment in this whole...
She can throw it.
There's only one moment in this movie where I kind of rolled my eyes just a little bit, where I was like, oh man, really? We're going to go there? And I don't know if you guys had an issue with this. I've listened to other podcasts where they've talked about this film, and nobody seems to have a problem with this. And I'm not saying I have a problem with it. It's just I thought it was a little too servicey. And that is the moment where Peter Parker hands the gauntlet off to Captain Marvel, and they have their sweet little moment where, you know, he's like, I'm Peter Parker, and she's like, hi, Peter Parker. And then she takes the gauntlet, and then she goes, because she's going trying to get to the van, right? You know, they're doing all these Hail Mary passes, right, with the gauntlet, trying to get to the end zone. And she turns, and then all of a sudden, all the female superheroes just happen to be there beside her.
You don't want to, don't go down this road, man. You're going to get this podcast flagged, dude. Don't go down this road. Not
the,
worth it.
I mean, I didn't hate it. I'm not saying I hate it. It's just, to me, it seemed a little...
Pandering?
Contrived.
Yeah, like, okay, so there's no male guys? You know, male guys. There's no guys around at all? For them
together.
You know, like, yeah. We have to protect Marvel.
You can still have your girl power moment.
To me, it was just a little too Like, it was just a little too much.
However, and Jason, maybe you can speak to this as the only other person that I remember so far admitting that they went with a real woman instead of Mike
Brings. As opposed to an inflatable one?
No, Mike Brings is all sometimes. When I was with my wife and that moment happened, I looked at her and literally groaned, and she was like, I don't give a fuck. Shut the hell up. This is incredible. And I've spoken to a few other females, and they kind of feel the same, where they were like, okay, like, I know it's pandering. I know they're just putting it in there to, like, have girls be like, yay, they're finally doing it for us. But at the same time, like, they seem to love it still. Jason, did your girlfriend like it?
She did, but at the same time, it felt almost, I don't want to say, like, forced. It didn't happen naturally, you know. It felt like it was almost like it was a necessity, like they all had to, you know. I mean, I didn't mind it so much. I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was kind of like oddly convenient that all of a sudden all the main female superhero characters are all together at one point. Like, with all the chaos going on, they managed to click together. I chose my words carefully, yes. But it was just kind of like they came together for that one scene, and then all of a sudden, all of them got, like, bulldozed down with, like, Thanos' stuff. And I'm just kind of like, that was kind of short-lived. And then Captain Marvel went off and did her own thing.
Enough of this fan service shit.
They all came together.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He said Kane.
I should point out, it is almost midnight where Rich and Mike are, and they have been drinking. I just want to throw that out there right now.
You recorded at least one podcast before this.
Didn't say there was anything wrong with it.
It was kind of cool anyway.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't hate that part, but it was a little bit, okay. But yeah, overall, I give this the highest rating I think I've ever given a Marvel film. So let's go into ratings. I'm giving it a 4.75 out of 5.
Wow.
Almost a 5 out of 5. It's almost perfect. You know, it made me laugh. It made me literally cry. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I did cry a little bit here.
Which made you cry though?
Like I said, the when Peter came back and him and Tony.
It was just that.
The end with Cap and Peggy dancing. Just yeah, reminded me of my grandma and grandpa so much that. It hit me, you know, because, you know, with my grandpa was a World War II vet as well. You know, that was the type of music they would have listened to back then. You know, my grandma and grandpa always danced, you know, so that it really reminded me of my grandma and grandpa, that final, you know, scene or whatever.
See, for me, was, again, yes, a little bit of the Spider-Man scene where he came back. However, for me, the biggest part was when backup came. When the backup came and you started seeing everybody come out, as well as the fact that they referenced on your left.
Yep.
On your left. Oh, don't say it! Don't you say it! On your left.
Like, yep.
I loved the reference there, but when the backup all came out, I was just fucking like a blibbering, blubbering mess. Like, you could have just gutted a fucking whale on top of me and put all the blubber all over me, because I was Mr. fucking Blubber Bones right then and there. You get, like, oh my god. Between that part and then at the, like, about 3 minutes later, when everybody finally gets their little cameo in and he goes, "All right, Avengers, assemble!" And I started crying all over again, and I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
I like that he whispered it, and yet everyone was on the same page. And people weren't like, what? What did he say?
Like the scene from Shazam where he's like, I can't hear what you're saying, evil dude.
Well, that, and again, like, I think
I guess we are.
Well, it's just like, you know, when Peter's talking and then people can hear him, you know, okay, you know, I'm on my way, you know, like Captain Marvel, you know. Somehow I think maybe Doctor Strange is like connecting them so they could all talk and hear each other. That's what I'm thinking. That's my justification. I should mention.
Love that. Got to activate kill mode on the suit.
Yeah, that was awesome. But one part that did get me, and this was earlier, this is pre-battle, was the Vormir, right? That's the name of the planet, Vormir. It had to be Hawkeye and Black Widow, right? Like. And that was a criticism that I heard online, was that, well, why would they send those two, like, if they know what's going to happen? They didn't know. Nobody knew what was required to get the Soul Stone. All they knew...
Well, technically, Nebula does, doesn't she?
Yeah. No. Nebula? No.
Because in Infinity Stone, how they got it, right?
Well, they don't actually... Okay, so let me explain. They don't actually know. Like, all they know is that Thanos and Gamora went to Vormir, and Thanos came back with the Soul Stone. They don't know...
No, because he tells them that he killed her at the end of Infinity War, right? And that's why Peter goes all psycho and fucks everything up.
But yeah, Mantis reveals it.
Yeah.
But he... No, she just says that he's mourning. Like, he doesn't actually come out and say, like, yeah, I killed her.
I had to do it.
And they're all like, didn't he say a soul for a soul?
Yeah, like they totally knew.
No, Thanos doesn't say that. That's what the Red Skull says to Thanos and Gamora.
No, what I'm saying is Thanos says to them, he's like, because Peter's all up in his face at the end of Infinity War, being like, did you kill her? What did you do with her? Where? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I had to do it. I had to do it.
He says, I had to. But he didn't necessarily
say it right out, but it was heavily alluded to, and it's totally, again, alluded to that Peter understands that Gamora died because of that fact, because he's flipping out and he's crying and blah, 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 blah. And then Nebula also later, at the beginning of the movie, right, when she's all like, yeah, my dad isn't a liar and Gamora's dead and all this. And so like they know, but then I guess they conveniently forget.
Well, they didn't know that was a requirement, though. See, the point I'm trying to make is Thanos never once said, okay, well, I had to kill her in order to get the Soul Stone because it's a soul for a soul. That was never said. Like, nobody actually knew the specifics of what went on.
Not the Soul Stone part. Nebula knew, though. Nebula knew because Gamora did tell Nebula where the stone was.
Yes.
And then she figured out that it was a soul for a soul. She's like, she literally says, like, that's why she couldn't come back, a soul for a soul.
She didn't say that, though.
One person? And then they're just like, okay, I guess I gotta kill myself, and then no one can collect the stone.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, Nebula never actually said that, though. Like, she never said, like, soul for a soul. Like, that was never established anywhere, other than Red Skull saying it to Thanos and Gamora. So they didn't actually know, okay, we're sending these two off because one of them has to kill the other one. Like, they didn't know that. Like, they didn't know that was a requirement. Is the point I'm trying to make. I mean, they should have maybe figured out, well, something's fishy here, but they, you know, for all they knew, Thanos just killed her because he's Thanos. You know, maybe they thought, well, she was trying to stop Thanos, so he had to kill her. Like, it was never established that, you know, that was a requirement going in.
Boromir, he came back with the Soul Stone, but she didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, you gotta cool it right now. Yeah, so they totally, they basically say it straight up, totally, in Infinity War. I'm literally watching it right now with subtitles. Tell me she's lying. Tell me you didn't do it. So they do allude in Infinity War that he did do it to get the Soul Stone. I'm literally just watching the movie right now. They totally allude to it. So it's conveniently forgotten that that actually happened.
I think you're totally missing what I'm trying to say here.
So she had to delete some memories.
All it's alluding to is that he killed her. It's not alluding to that is a requirement for the Soul Stone.
Why am I not the most anal person on this show?
No, I'm literally watching the movie right now. I'm just saying. Watch it after. We'll move on to the next point.
Oh, I've watched it. I know. Like, I'm just telling you. Like, it wasn't like there's a set of rules. They didn't know.
Just remember one nitpick.
What does this monster have to mourn?
No, not that.
Gamora. And then he looks at fucking Nebula. What do you mean? He took her to Boromir. He came back to Soul Stone. She didn't come back.
Yeah.
Basically saying straight up that it's a death to get the Soul Stone. Again, you're right. In the sense that they didn't directly say it, but it is definitely said between the lines.
If that's what you're thinking, yes, absolutely, I totally agree.
We didn't do anything, Captain Rich.
Because technically, she didn't say that. You know, she died because they had to get the Soul Stone. She said that she didn't make it. Thanos killed her.
Yeah.
It was never implied that's how they got the Soul Stone, but he killed her.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Like, Thanos kills a lot of people. Like,
I'm trying to drag out this whole conversation a little bit.
Anyway, Mike, you said you had another nitpick.
Yeah. They undo the snap. They bring back all worlds. Population or heroes? If they brought back the world's population, it's been 5 years later. Everyone is used to a 2.5 2.5 billion population, or 5 billion, or whatever it is, there is now an extra billion mouths to feed. Multiple billions.
Oh, yeah, and all the crops.
There is a multiple food economic crisis.
Yeah. Also, do you think the snap, since it affects different species on different planets and different aliens, do you think it also affects all the life on all the planet? Like,
yeah.
Do they kill half the dolphins?
No, it's half the universe.
Does it kill half the chinchillas? Because that's just cruel.
And well, that's the thing. I think that was, again, implied. We're getting out of the implied things. When Ant-Man walks up to the window and Ant-Man walks up to the window and is looking at the birds, there's more birds than there was previous. So that was kind of the implication that it worked.
It's a food shortage for everybody.
But no, that just means that everybody that comes back has to eat meat because now all the meat's back. So all the vegans are definitely going to die.
They're going to eat some of the
and
rest of the...
And rightfully so. No, just kidding. No.
And rightfully so.
just kidding, Rich. Just kidding.
Fucking massive financial and supply resource shortages and... Like, they've adjusted.
Yeah.
Now they have they? If they haven't even cleaned up that fucking broken-down Prius down the street,
yeah,
then that makes you think that they're fucking prepared or not.
Do you think
prepared.
The food has been lasting just in case they come back?
Twinkies. Duh.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think there'll be enough fruit and stuff, like vegetables and all that, but I definitely think, like, the processed foods, there's going to be a shortage. Like, there's, yeah, you're not going to get, there's not going to be enough hoagies and Twinkies for everyone.
There's not enough people to run the Quiznos anymore, so Subway's going to be packed.
Half the McDonald's are gone. Now it's only going to say, like, half a billion served.
But, yeah. Oh, anyway. We got sidetracked with the whole Vormir discussion. I was going to say, that was one of the moments that made me tear up, is when Black Widow sacrificed herself. When you had these two friends, literally fighting each other for the right to die in order to save the other one. To me, that was just heartbreaking. But it made complete sense, that Black Widow would do that, though.
I thought it was terrible, personally, but...
You wanted Hawkeye?
No, I just... The whole situation of them, fighting to commit suicide was fucking terrible.
I know how you could solve that, then. Black Widow will walk up to Red Skull, I love you,
yeah,
and then throw him off.
But can you throw him, though? He's like, floating there.
Yeah, that's a good point. He could just, float back up.
Snap his neck and into it.
He'd just laugh at you.
But does the Soul Stone require a live death or a dead death?
Is he alive or dead?
A dead death? if you're dead, aren't you already dead?
No, but
your soul's not dead.
No, but I mean, because both people that got the Soul Stone through their deaths died hitting the bottom of... whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to snap Red Skull's neck before sending him down and he died, heart stopped, died before hitting the bottom, would the Soul Stone still accept that soul to give you the Soul Stone, or would the Soul Stone say, I want a fresh death and a fresh soul? Like, how picky is
it? It has to be something you love.
Probably the next snap. It would have to be like Red Skull's mom or something. Because they don't love Red Skull. And, I guess that was another little nitpick. Was at some point, you'd think Black Widow and Hawkeye would have cracked open a history book and would say to themselves, hey, aren't you that guy that was, the head of Hydra, during World War II? Didn't you fight Cap?
Legion doesn't know the name of, their first worst enemy.
Well, the thing is, the Red Skull's the Red Skull. He has a red skull.
How do you slip through the history books when you are a literal red fucking skull?
You'd think they would remember or have, said, hey, aren't you that maybe guy? All right, well, before we go, let's, any final thoughts before we call this a podcast? Jason.
Really? I mean, we kind of touched base on a lot of it. Some more than others. But, you know.
A lot of touching.
I'm not saying. A lot of. On Rich's part, there was a lot of touching, but it's okay. Maybe. But no, I enjoyed it from beginning to end. I didn't. My, if there was any complaints, it was pretty minute.
That's also what she said.
Jesus Christ.
All right, Rich. What are your final thoughts? Or do we want to know them?
I'll be real quick. If you haven't seen this movie already and you're listening to this podcast, obviously you're a moron and you can't move enough to go and see the movie. But if you can and you haven't seen the movie, go see it. If you've seen it, see it again. Mm-hmm. Let's get this movie past Avatar. Let's make this the number one movie. Last I checked, it was at like 1.3 billion worldwide, I believe. Mm-hmm. It just needs to reach 2.3 billion, and it needs to reach 2.7 billion worldwide. So we only need another like $500,000 in the next couple of months until this movie gets pulled from the theaters for it to now be the number one movie of all time. Also, I believe it's already gotten the record of fastest movie to $1 billion.
Yeah, it broke a bunch of records. Like
space or something? Yeah.
The biggest one in April, the biggest one in like 4 days. Yeah, there's so many records it broke. It definitely will beat Avatar. I'm sure of it.
So 30 million listeners of this podcast go see the movie 10 times.
Yeah, exactly.
It will definitely beat Avatar as well because they've already pushed the sequels, so everybody's forgotten about Avatar. Nobody cares about Avatar.
Yeah, I just want to go off a quick tangent.
Who asked for the sequel to Avatar?
Just a quick tangent. That's still a thing that they're doing these Avatar movies. Like I just read that James Cameron is planning on, you know, decimating the Marvel universe with his Avatar sequels, and I'm like, I don't care. Avatar sucks at this point. Like,
you know what's really funny though is that now that Disney owns Fox and Fox is distributing the Avatar films, Disney has the right and has used said right to push back both Avatar films another 1 to 2 years, because they was supposed to come out. Avatar 2 was scheduled to be released December 2020, and then I think the Avatar 3 was December 2022, and they've now pushed them both back 1 year so that they can have more Marvel and Disney movies come out before those movies.
But that doesn't excuse why James Cameron took so long before this whole deal went down, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, for sure. 100%.
And honestly,
because he took his time because he was busy ruining Terminator.
Yeah, and there's another one of those gems coming, apparently.
So, yeah, that's my general thoughts is go and see this movie again and again and again. I personally can't wait for this movie to finally come out in a big, huge box set. The you know, MCU first arc box set with all 22 fucking movies in, you know, what looks like Hulk's fucking cock or something that transforms into a bunch of DVDs or some shit. I don't know what they're going to do with it. This is great. I can't wait to see it. Also,
does your wife know? Is this
yeah, this is pretty fucking hilarious.
She's all about this. I also would like to see a director's cut of this movie, because I bet you there's a whole bunch of scenes that didn't make it into this movie that would be awesome. I want to see the 4-hour version of this movie.
Me too.
Would you call that the Peter Jackson edition?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The 3000 edition.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And Mike, your final thoughts, sir.
It was a great movie, an end to an era, completed so many people's stories. It was the end. It was the end, and it was pretty darn good. Although I guess Peter Parker is going to be a Homecoming.
Far From Home. Yes,
like the final Phase 4 movie? The final Phase 3 movie?
Yeah, Far From Home.
Looking forward to that, but wrapping up the original Avengers stories. Bruce on his balance, Captain got his dance. It was great.
Hulk got his brains.
Yeah.
Tin Man got his heart. It all worked out in the end.
Mm-hmm. All right. No, excellent. All right. Well, before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. Jason, where can we find you, sir?
As usual, it's my blog at nerdylifeofmine.com, and my Twitter handle is iRoberts3.
Excellent. Mike, where can we find you, sir?
Here we go.
You can find me reviewing horror movies with my friend Sheldon on the Graveyard Shift Horror with Sheldon and Mike. We have little skits about the movies. We talk about the things we liked, hated, anything else. It's pretty fun.
Excellent. Excellent. And Rich, where can we find you, sir?
Pornhub.com.
Yeah, apparently. I'm actually shocked that Mike didn't go. Usually he spends about 10 minutes of our podcasts talking about his podcast that you need to listen to. So I was expecting to get a nap in real quick there, and now I'm all upset that I didn't get my usual end of podcast episode nap. You can find me on Pop Chatter mostly. That's the, I guess, the Richard equivalent of the pop culture pub, pretty much. It's a general catch-all of what's going on in pop culture, both past, present, and future, and me and various friendly voices, some of whom you've heard before, some of whom you haven't, come on and talk about said pop culture-y things.
Excellent. Yeah, and you can read my blog at randomnerdness.blogspot.com. I am on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as ChrisLock1701. All right, well, on behalf of myself, Mr. Jason Roberts, Mr. Mike King, and Mr. Richard Reeder, my name is Chris Lockhart, and I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub podcast. This was our Avengers Endgame discussion, and we will see you in the future.